Picture this. It's the 1980s. The most feared man in America is from Brownsville, New York. His name is Iron Mike Tyson. Now, scratch that. Picture this. It's the 1990s, and the most feared man in America is named Iron Mike Tyson. No, wait, hold on. Picture this. It's the 2000s, and the most feared man. You get the idea.
There were three black men who ruled the world during this time. It was Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, and it was Mike Tyson. And everybody wanted to be Mike. The only question was, which Mike do you want to be?
Mike Tyson, as you've never seen him before, in this one-of-a-kind ABC News docuseries, Mike Tyson, The Knockout. The climb, the crash, and the comeback of his boxing career. The man who was undisputed world heavyweight champion from 1987 to 1990. His first win at 20, making him the youngest fighter to hold the title. You're going to hear from people like actress Rosie Perez, the first lady of boxing.
Mike Tyson was called the baddest man on the planet because he was the baddest man on the planet.
The four-hour series is also going to take a look into his personal life, which has been riddled with controversy. If you are a lover of this podcast, you are a lover of storytelling, you definitely don't want to miss ABC News' Mike Tyson, The Knockout.
Boom! Welcome to Mike Tyson's world.
The staggering documentary event premieres Tuesday night, May 25th on ABC and next day on Hulu.
What's going on? It's your boy DJ G Money, and I am this week's guest on the Kicks and Shit Show. Check us out.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It's your boy Gerard, your girl Gabby. Episode 53 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Yeah, see, you really kind of like.
I wanted to keep it light and tight. You know, we've been away for a week.
We've actually been away for a week.
Gerard, why don't you tell us?
What's been going on in these traveling streams? First of all, I've not been away for a week. Let's calm down.
Maybe just mentally, not physically, but. You know, I missed you.
I appreciate that. Yes, I used to live on the western side of this country, in San Francisco, in the Palo Alto, in the peninsula. And so I went out for a little visit over the weekend, you know, now that I'm, you know, fully vaxxed, it's been well past my 2 weeks, all that jazz. I was like, all right, I'm feeling comfortable and safe to, like, see human beings, of course, still masked and distanced as much as humanly possible. But, you know, it's just cool out here checking out the San Francisco streets, checking out some old haunts, checking out on some old peeps, see what's happening.
I love that. Yeah. Of course, I mean, I have so many questions about your trip that I won't bore our listeners with. But you know what I really want to know, though? The question that is burning inside of me.
Yes.
Now that you are excited to be around people again, Gerard, you're going to be reunited because as of the time that this episode drops, your girl is waxed and waxed. I don't know if you're waxed. Not really relevant for this. But I am ready for the streets. The streets are calling my name, Gerard. Especially kind of in the vicinity of where you live. So
feet to the streets, is that what you're saying? Look, you...
The feet are ready for the streets.
You haven't really left the streets. You really still got to... Yes, you maintain the streets. But yes, now that it's been... It's been well past two weeks still and fully vaxxed, I am much more apt to be like, all right, Gabby, we can meet somewhere outdoors and, you know, see what's going on. Reunite for the show.
Oh, Gerard. I mean, you know, somebody has to maintain the streets, okay? It's a very difficult job.
Apparently.
Somebody's got to do it,
and you are the person to do it. Yeah, well, listen, we were off for a week, folks. We hope you caught up on all the past episodes. We had some great guests, Gabby. Jock Slade, Ricky Shubio. I mean, the list goes on, man. We've really been doing big things. I hope everybody got a chance to catch up. And there were some episodes with just us. And we showed off some kicks and some different things and relevant topics in the sneaker and sports game. Speaking of, Gabby, I know And we're not going to spend 1 million hours on it because we don't have time. But I know you are very excited. Your New York Knicks, the number 4 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, will take on the Atlanta Hawks this Sunday, game 1 at MSG. My first question, I know you're happy, so I don't need to answer that question. Will you be at the game?
Well, I need to give you a prelude to that because you skipped over my initial emotions. You know, it is Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat everybody. Shalom. We are ready for these basketball streets. What a beautiful time. And you know what my favorite part about this, Gerard, is before I tell you if I'm going to be there or not?
What?
I was there in the last regular season game.
You were.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful to be back. I was waving the Knicks flag.
You were working, yeah.
With all of my pride.
T-shirt cannon or no? Or they didn't really do that?
Nope. We are still abiding by COVID protocol. Okay. I had my Knicks mask on to match my outfit. Okay.
Of course, obviously.
But I love all the chatter around this because here's why. First of all, I love all the hype that's against the Nets. That the Nets are like one emotional breakdown away from not winning the championship. And then you look at that versus like the odds in Vegas. I just think like New York is an interesting town. And I know you and I have talked about this before. Every other part of this country, sure, they all talk about the Nets. In New York, especially in Manhattan, the theme of everyone's conversation is, so you're saying there's the chance. Is this the year? Like, we weren't supposed to be here in the first place, right?
Sure,
like, we weren't supposed to be exactly where we were. I was hoping for a play-in at best. You remember I said
Vegas,
that
Vegas said 22 wins was your over-under to start the season. That's where they said it at.
Yep. And now we have a home court advantage.
It's true.
I hope I'm going to be there. We haven't heard yet.
Okay,
if I am not there for employment purposes, I will probably be there for personal reasons. So I will find a way. I mean, playoff basketball. I haven't been to the Garden for playoff basketball since the last time the Knicks were in a playoff.
Which was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony. Shouts to Melo.
That's a whole other decade of my age group.
And the Garden has said that they will increase capacity to 13,000. So it will be a raucous Madison Square Garden.
I haven't even heard that yet. That's hot off the presses. I was
hearing
like 6 and change, but 13,000.
13,000, that's what they want to do.
Be back, baby.
Yeah, so not quite full capacity, but you know, it'll be pretty loud in there, pretty raucous. Look, Knicks fans, be happy. As I said, a shout out to True Hoop. I did a video about the Knicks a little while ago. Listen, Knicks fans, be happy. Enjoy the ride for your own purposes. I did pick the Knicks in 7 to win this series. So, you know, take that for whatever it's worth with a grain of salt. But look, it right now, you're playing with what is commonly referred to as house money. This is all gravy now because, as you said, Gabby, you didn't expect to be here, right? You were hoping for a play-in at best. Vegas sets your preseason win total at 22.5 games. You won almost damn near 40, all right? So, gravy. You had development with R.J. Barrett. Julius Randle's going to make an All-NBA team, most likely. Look, Obi Toppin's looking like he's going to be the real deal. Emmanuel Quigley, you got some stuff there. It's all happy. I'm not saying, you know, who cares, tank the playoffs. No, I'm saying whatever happens now, just enjoy the ride. Just enjoy it.
Well, we're enjoying it, let me tell you. I feel like we, like, almost have to bring back Juanito because I don't know if you remember that episode.
I don't know
if you guys heard that, but that episode took a real hard left.
I was killing the Knicks and Juanito.
In the front.
Yo, Juanito, come back on anytime, my man. If you want to come back on and gloat and get excited about your Knicks, be happy. Of course, you know, if you want me to play the you know, Pontius Pilate, I will for sure bring up all the reasons why. Okay, get excited, but let's not lose our minds, okay? Here are all the problems around on the horizon for this team. But be that as it may, as I said, let's be happy right now. Knicks fans, enjoy. Look, New York City as a whole, man, you got the Knicks making the playoffs. Nets are a title contender. Look, it's happening right now in New York City. This is the center of basketball, and it looks like, you know, things will be all good to go. Now, there's something I want to discuss, Gabby, really quickly. Oh, well, before I do that, I know you're happy about the Knicks. What have you been doing for the weekend while I was away? It wasn't even a week. What have you been getting into besides Nick excitement?
Nick excitement? One might say.
Yes, one might. Not me, but one might.
Well, you know, I mean, I've spent some time with my family, with some friends. Mm-hmm. I actually did something really wild this past weekend and met some of my coworkers IRL. Oh, and I ventured out to Brooklyn.
Oh, my God.
I drove because, you know.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. COVID times. I also don't know how to dress myself anymore. Like, I still feel like we live in this time where, don't get me wrong, bike shorts are a vibe.
Always.
Bike shorts will always be a vibe. Mm-hmm.
But when you meet your coworkers.
Like, I feel like when I was out in Brooklyn, people were stunting. You know?
I believe you texted me, Gerard, are bike shorts appropriate to meet your coworkers IRL?
Probably, yes. I think that's we can fact check that one. So I wore the longer version of bike shorts, aka leggings, you know, because again, I don't know how to dress myself. And also this weather is very wonky. Who knows what it's going to be like, but like.
What heat did you have on your feet when you went out to see your coworkers? And I know you had to put some heat on.
I know our man's Ben does not agree with this, but every season is Yeezy season.
Our man's bed.
And I had to wear my bright blue Yeezys because not only did I get them from eBay and they have that authenticity guarantee, which you know I geek out over, mm-hmm. but they are also Knicks colors.
Oh.
So my feet made their debut in the streets, Gerard. It was Yeezy season in and out of the garden this weekend, let me tell you.
Oh, man, listen, it's always Yeezy season for us. Shouts to Ben Aronson, who is, of course, one of the founders of this wonderful Count the Dings Network, in which we are a proud member of. Shout out to you, Ben. But no, listen, we always gonna rock Yeezys around here. Now, speaking of Yeezys, something interesting was brought to my attention by you, Gabby. And it was regarding sort of this, transformation isn't the right word, but sort of regular everyday brands like J. Crew and The Gap and whatever, trying to take a trend and feed off of what luxury brands have done by taking streetwear designers and popular people in that sphere, bringing them onto their brand to sort of give it, for lack of a better term, street cred, right? So luxury brands are partnering with streetwear designers so they get more cred. Well, places like J. Crew, Gap, of course, because, you know, you got Yeezy.
Yeezy fell into the gap.
Exactly.
That's right.
They are trying to do the same thing. And I say that to say because J. Crew recently hired Noah Brendan Barbanzian, who was a former designer at Supreme, right, and had his own street line, streetwear brand, Noah. And I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. And I thought about it because, one, can we just be 100% honest about something?
Yeah.
J. Crew needed a refresh. Like, for real. Like,
ever since the Jenna days, I mean, they needed a refresh. But I think to me, this move is so far away from where they're at. Like, I'm fascinated to see what happens for that reason. Like, I think it's a really tough balance for brands that you want to recruit a new audience, a new fan, without alienating your current customer base. So that's where I'm really curious here, how far they're going to go. I mean, I think J. Crew for a little while was dabbling in the sneaker game. I mean, it was a little bit more like the Nike Cortez.
Or the Kill Shot or whatever. Yep.
Mm-hmm. New Balance, you know, or some Blazers that were a little bit more on brand, you know. And I think now that people are realizing sneakers are a thing. And I think, I mean, it makes all consumerism really challenging. Like, you can barely even get a pair of Uptowns anymore.
Sure.
Like, I had a friend the other day ask me, like, how do I get Jordans? And I go, you don't. Short answer.
How do you don't.
Respectfully, you don't.
Respectful.
So, and then I was like, wait, let me, like, backtrack. I don't really mean that, but I.
But I kind of do.
Process, right? And I was like, she was like, wait, I had no idea it was so hard. No wonder I can never just find them in the store. And
oh, yeah.
It just
is
a sign of the time. So I think this J. Crew move is very, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I'm curious because J. Crew, you know, it's a preppy brand, right? Like, that's sort of like where it's, you think of Madras shorts and like pink polos and like things like that, which, you know, those have their place depending on what you're rocking and what you're doing. How is that, you know, how is that crowd that sort of likes that kind of jean look and what they have, how are they going to vibe with, you know, this potential? And again, I don't even know what it's going to look like because there's nothing. Nothing's been out yet. I mean, he just got announced literally like days ago. So we'll see what the first sort of sketches and things look like. But I'm curious. And obviously, look, let's be real about this. J. Crew's looking at it as, how do we regain some market share and make money, right? That's their number one goal. And if by some reason this works and Noah's designs, people like them and they attract a new audience and they sell, it'll be good for the brand and good for everybody. But time will tell. The marketplace, as always, will dictate whether they like it or not, right? So we'll see.
And I think the hype beasts are going to be lined up and ready just in case. Like, I think that's the new culture that we are surrounded in, you know, that is a blessing and a curse. I mean, it's the culture that makes me not even open up my sneakers app on launch days because, you know, because
we ain't getting.
I took a lot of L's and I'm a fragile lady, as shocking to probably everybody listening to the show. But sometimes I just don't want to take an L, and I'm trying to be smart. You know, I take a lot of budget tips from our girl TJ about how to be smart with my purchases, be strategic, look for the things that I want. And if I do want to pay a little bit of resale, if it's something that I truly, really want, then I'm okay to do that. But I think that we've developed this culture now that people have caught on to hype culture and people are inside. It's the same going on with trading cards and collectibles, right?
NFTs and all that.
NFTs, everything is that people, even Xboxes, gaming systems, like people will get them to get them whether they have no desire to keep it or not because they see the value in it. I mean, I think it, like, at the beginning of this pandemic, you and I had talked about how a lot of people were getting sneakers in different sizes to either trade or leverage. To me, I'm okay with that. I there's no fair way to do it. It is what it is. But we've gotten so far off the deep end that I'm really curious to see if some of this hype culture with this merger of hype culture and kind of like
mainstream brands,
the mainstream brand, if it trickles into the norm, because a lot of that norm core, like, they don't know what it's like in sneaker culture.
No,
like,
definitely
you, you actually, you called this out with the Joe West Coast scandal that happened a couple months ago that, you know, this was the first time people realized that there were even raffles for sneakers.
Correct.
And, you know, we're in our bubble here, our beautifully outfitted bubble. But it's still a bubble. So I'm curious if it's going to pop or if it's just going to keep on growing.
Yeah, time will tell. Well, folks, stay tuned because we have a special guest coming up next. You know, I, all I'm going to say is, are you a picky eater? That's it. I'm leaving it there. Stay tuned. What's good, y'all? We are back. Gabby, we're not alone. We are joined by DJ, sneaker enthusiast, the host of the wildly popular Picky Eater Show, which is in season four right now, DJ G Money. What's good?
Yo, yo, yo. What's up? What's up, y'all? So behind the scenes, I said I'm honored to be. I want to say it again on camera. I'm honored to be here. You know, I was waiting for my phone call for the Kicks and Shit Show. You know, this is a dope show. You guys are doing an amazing job. So happy to be here, man.
Well, we appreciate it. I was actually going to give you another AKA nickname on the intro, FOG, friend of Gabby. Gabby, you want Gabby, you want to elaborate? You want to elaborate anymore on that, Gabby, or you want to leave it there?
I just gotta say, you know, I think some of this is gonna happen eventually, right? Quarantine is a weird time. Chef Boyardee, you know, this is like the most Jewish I've ever been equated to in my entire life. So when G called me up and was like, "I would like you to make a Jewish meal," and I was like,
"Gefilte fish."
Okay. Gefilte fish.
I love it. I love it.
I was like, let me see if I got to make some challah. And you know me.
Kugel.
Extra,
you
mean
kugel?
So like, some kugel? Yeah, we did some sweet noodle kugel.
Okay, good kugel.
We did kugel?
That was the one that you thought was mac and cheese, but it tasted like candy. Oh, and you're like, oh, I like this.
It tastes like...
Yeah, It tastes like macaroni and cheesecake.
Yeah, that was right. You called it macaroni and cheesecake.
I love it.
But yeah, you know, weird time quarantine was.
So, G, you know, I want to start on Picky Eater because... My guy, like, I know when people say they're picky eaters, like, no, my dude, like, you are like a whole other level of picky eater, like, to the point where, like, you just look, the food comes out and you're already in recoil mode, like, you don't know what's in it, you're already recoiling, and I'm like, damn, dog, it could be good. How you know if it's not good yet? But was it as a kid, were your parents not adventurous with the cooking? Like, what's all that about?
I'm going to bring mom and dad into it.
No, I'm asking. I'm trying to get the history.
That's the origin. You know what I'm saying? So first off, my dad is far from picky. You know, he's the guy that's in the family that will try the foreign food or the food that someone brought in. Or he's like, oh, what's that? I try. You know, okay. That's my pops. Or, like, even talking about, like, real quick, like, DJ stuff. When I used to DJ when I was younger, you know, sometimes they book you. They're like, oh, we're going to feed you. We're going to take care of you. I'm like, all right, cool. I get there. My dad will be the one eating the food. Like, or they give me a plate. I'm like, dad, here, try this. Eat this. And he'll eat it. So that's that side of it, right? Well, this side, my mom is like, what's that? I'm not eating that. So she passed me the Picky Eater dreams down. And then growing up, you know, she would cook, you know, different foods in the house, but she wouldn't force me to eat anything I didn't like. Some parents is like, you're not leaving the table until you finish that meal. She's like, you don't want that? All right, try this one. Eat this then. Or eat this. I'll go buy something else. Eat that. So I was spoiled. I'm only a child. You know what I'm saying? So.
I feel you.
So your parents aren't Jewish is what you're saying to me. Okay, got it.
I'll say I would say blame my mom, because she definitely spoiled me. She let me eat what I wanted to eat. You know what I'm saying? If I didn't want this meal, she bought another one, or she cooked something else, or she bought something else. So you can blame her for being this picky, I think.
But throughout now four seasons of Picky Eater, there had to have been some revelations. It has to be stuff now that you're like, you know what? That's actually pretty good. And now you'll rock it.
I don't think we get carried away and say rock it, but like, I would love to know what the revelations are as well.
All right, so you know what's crazy? About an hour ago, I actually had a meal, well, a sandwich that I had on Picky Eater, the vegan chopped cheese sandwich.
Okay.
So I've been kind of frequent with, I've been kind of rocking that sandwich.
Okay.
I've been kind of rocking. I've been in that store about four or five times. After the show. But throughout four seasons, there's only probably two or three things that I went back and bought outside of eating.
Okay.
That's it. But not more than that.
But that's growth, though. I mean, right? That's for someone like that. That's growth. That's growth. That's growth.
A half per season,
something like that.
Listen, it's like
I'll take a little of the bread that came with that dish that I didn't like. There we go.
It's like the Knicks, man. Baby steps, right? You gotta
bring the Knicks into it. Why you gotta do that, Jerome?
No, but it's a positive thing. Baby steps. You gotta take baby steps. And now look, playoffs. You here now? So, Sam, I mean, G ain't quite in the playoffs ready with his food. He ain't quite at playoff level yet, but you know, he's getting himself to competence. He's getting there. He's getting the competence level.
And you know what? I'm very comfortable on my skin about how picky I am. How picky I am with food. I'm not like I'm trying to get better. I'm cool where I'm at. Like people laugh at me. I appreciate the laughters, and I'm comfortable. I travel out the country. I eat the same meals. I've been to Jamaica and Trinidad. I find me a KFC, you know. I find me a pizza hut somewhere. I'm comfortable. I'm not trying to fit in. I'm good.
You're like, I am happy being me. I feel you on that. All right,
100%.
I like it. I like it. So you, of course, to DJ G Money. So you are a DJ, man. Like, when did your love of music? When did that start? And when do you realize, man, I like putting on tunes to make people shake their ass.
So, you know, we're going to take it way, way back in the time.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Nah, so I've been DJing since my first official party was for my cousin in 1999. You know, so I've been DJing since 99. I first started because of the movie Juice, mainly. Yeah, I seen Juice, and that scene, you know, kind of inspired me. My dad also DJ as well. So my dad passed the genes down to me, but I wasn't really trying to be a DJ. I was playing basketball. I was in sports and things like that. So, but after the movie Juice, I begged my parents to buy me turntables for Christmas. They bought turntables for me. I messed around with it. And still, at that moment, I wasn't trying to take it serious. It was more so like, I wanted to do what he did in the movie. So let me try to get that little scene down pat, and I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I didn't plan on doing parties. I didn't understand nothing about the party scene and
right. The
bookings and traveling, you know, right. So it went from that to a few of my family friends and my dad's friends like, hey, you know, how much you charge for a party? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't understand what, you know, like, you're going to pay me to come.
What you mean?
DJ? What you talking about? I'm like 13, 14. So they're like, yeah, we're going to pay you. I'm like, all right, I can't drive there. So talk to my pops. If he could drive me there, I'll come check it out. I'll do it. You're going to pay me, you know, like, so I tried it out. And then I'm like, yo, this is kind of cool, man. Like, so from there, it kind of just like, I'm crazy.
I love it. So when was that moment when you, first of all, were able to pull off the move, the cue played by Omar Epps did in the movie?
Oh, that took a long time. I'm trying to think when I first pump it up. First of all, I couldn't figure out what song that was for a long time. And then back then there was no, you know, this is like before even LimeWire. You know what I'm saying?
So, right.
I couldn't even go and search it online. So I'm trying to figure out where I can buy it, what store, who I can. I don't know. I couldn't find it for years. Probably until like newer times when we had Serato. And someone had sent me the song. And I was like, oh, finally. So I sat home and tried to get my little routine together. So it took me years to get the song, first of all. Then I had to perfect it a little bit, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
And when you're at a party or an event, and I ask this of every DJ, what's that feeling like? When, you know, you're in that groove and the crowd is just feeling you, and like you're like on a 10, 12, 15 song run, like it, no matter what, they're vibing. Like, what's that feel like?
Oh, man, it's like, you know, I never been high before. it feel like when you're high, you know what I'm saying? You know, this is a Kicks and Shit show, so I'm sure you guys into sports and things like that, of course, you know, so it would feel like when you if you're Steph Curry, you make the first shot, second shot,
Steph and you're Curry like, yo,
I can't miss a shot. Like, yo, this is crazy. It's like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have control over people's lives for those 3 or 4 or 5 hours. So you know, you paint the picture. You control what their mood is. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's a slow song or trap song or reggae, you make them feel that vibe. You know what I'm saying? So to be back to back, 10, 15 songs in is like, oh,
jeez.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I can't even describe that feeling. It's just like, you know, like I said, you on fire, you Steph Curry, hitting them threes, and it's like, ooh.
You get a little shimmy in the boot. You're like, man, I can't. Little, oh,
shoulders, okay, shoulders.
I did it. You know what I'm saying? Nah, it's a dope feeling. It's dope. Like those moments keep me going. You know what I'm saying? Like to see people just laughing, smiling, dancing. You know that keeps me going every time. Like there's days where I might be like, oh, it's getting kind of boring now. Then I'll do a party and I'm like, yo, this person was dancing all night. Like even if it was a one person dance, I'm like, damn, like I made that person really enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So you're from Queens. I know Queens is a big part of who you are, part of like the Light Feet movement. I know you're one of the pioneer DJs in Queens for that. Talk about the inspiration of New York. I mean, we talk about that a lot on this show since we're New Yorkers. I mean, some people might argue because I'm in Jersey these days that, I don't know, we're like the sick borough over here. But, you know, we can talk about that another time. But would love to know the impact of just being in New York and being from Queens specifically. Like, music culture is so big. How has that impacted your career and your style of play?
Oh, man. New York, I mean, obviously everyone knows New York is where hip-hop started, you know. So I learned more of that as I got older, of course. You know, understanding things more when you got older. But growing up in New York is just, you know, I think, once again, getting older and looking back, I think made me realize more of the culture. So, like, for example, I play out of town. I remember DJing my first, like, really, for me, really far away gig was in Massachusetts. That was, like, really big for me. I'm like, yo, we driving, like, 3-4 hours away. This is crazy. But I went out there, and I realized the different vibe out there. Like, me touching the set out there, the crowd went ridiculous crazy for, like, something I did so small. Versus New York, it's like the belly of the beast. So New York kind of shapes you and it molds you to be that kind of monster in your crowd, whether you're rapping or producing or DJing. So I think New York, the culture, it prepares you for, like, the world. So if you, like they said, you make it here, make it anywhere, the cliche saying. But me playing in Massachusetts that first time, like, 19, 20 years old, it's like I killed the party effortlessly. It's like all of those tough things out here in New York and Queens and Brooklyn that I had to really, like, struggle to play, and the crowd was not like this. They're not moving.
Ice grilling you the whole time.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Like, come on. Play something else. Play something else now. Play old school now.
Do
play
you reggae. Have Despacito?
Yeah. Do you
That's New York. Like, they want to hear you. Come on. Like, let's go. Impress me. So it prepares you for the world, man. Like, I play out of town. Even fast forward after that, 18, 19, fast forward to, like, San Diego, me playing out there. It's, like, easy breezy. I'm like, wow. Like, New York is way different, you know. So just that. And then Queens itself, just, you know, growing up around hearing stories about L. Cool J and Run DMC and these guys. And then DJing alongside my pop's good friend, Grandmaster Vic, who's from Queens, and he actually used to let me DJ on his set when I was little. Like, so I feel like that kind of molded me at some point too. Like, he would do some slick moves, like, yo, I'll be right back. Like, play a song. I'm like, okay, I got you. And then he would be gone for like 2 hours. So I'm like,
where's dude coming back? I gotta put on the song.
Yeah, so I'm like, where's the, where he at? Am I seeing Vic? No, you ain't see him? And mind you, I'm not the only kid out there.
Right.
And I'm on his set. This is before Serato computer. This is his, so it's
turntables.
So I have to go through his music and try to figure out how to mix and blend, because the people looking like, all right, you DJing? Like,
yeah, what's up?
You gotta do something. So, you know, out in New York, they kind of forced the hand that the perfected craft a little bit stronger. You know what I'm saying?
Put your feet to the fire. That's how you learn, right? Like, and to your point, if you can make, because I know a lot of those Brooklyn and Queens house parties and those gigs, man, crowds are tough. So if you can make it in those environments, you're gonna be all right no matter where you go the rest of the country playing something.
You good? 100%.
There's obviously the connection, right, between sports and music and culture, right? All this stuff just weaves hand in hand. You mentioned you were a baller growing up. I see you got your OKC shirt on. You're doing your little cross move right here. You got a Rockets hat on. I mean, talk to me.
this shirt right here, you know, I had to wear it for this show in particular. Cause I know we're going to talk sneakers and sports and all that. So, you know, I had to wear this joint. So, and this actually is passed down. This is actually Queens, if you didn't know. Well, I didn't know either. I just found out the other day. But my dad is actually good friends with this player on OKC named Moses Brown.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So,
yep, from here.
I know his dad as well. I didn't feel like I knew his dad until like yesterday.
Okay.
His dad has been sending us some clothes and some shirts. Like, yo, it's my son. I'm like, all right, cool, good looking, appreciate it. And I saw the post yesterday. I'm like, oh, I know his. So,
Are you guys cousins? Gene's got a lot of cousins. So I feel like it's
not yet. You know, I haven't found out yet. We might be. Hopefully, we are. You know, what I'm saying, yo, Mo, man, how about your boy? this is Moses Brown. OKC,
right? No doubt.
Queens. And, this is my boy Tiny Cloverline thing. So I know you got the Rockets logo there. Yep. This is the Trust the Process.
Oh, nice
clothing brand. So you know, I try to support my peoples and show love when I can.
I like that. So okay, you were a baller growing up. If you had to link your game up to any player, past or present, who would you say your game or you in your mind most resembles? Whether it's true or not is irrelevant. Who'd you think?
Put me in, coach.
Who do you think your game was, or who'd you try to be like?
Good question.
That's a very good question. You know, I feel like, man, you make me feel like I believe you had a game back in the days. Now,
hey, what about J.R. Smith? No. You don't see the resemblance? Yeah. Can we put J.R. Smith's picture like right next to G?
I mean, JR could ball, man. What's wrong with
him? He used to.
JR could hoop, man.
He used to. Where's he now?
He's done. But he's
living his life.
Living his best life.
Get money, get chicks.
But listen, he could hoop. I mean, listen, I know y'all Knicks fans used to get mad when Rihanna would get on the Instagrams and Twitter and be like, don't be mad at me because JR out in the club all night partying.
He'd be outside.
I mean,
always out. Him and his brother out in the streets.
He's outside. But to answer the question, if I can compare my game, I mean, to be honest, I wasn't all that. I ain't gonna lie to y'all up here. I played, I did my thing. My game. Who did I play like?
Who do you want to play like?
I was gonna say, let's go with that because Gerard ain't fact checking after this episode. So
I ain't looking up your stats.
ain't much you gonna find. So it's gonna be all right. I would say a little like Klay Thompson.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But of course he's.
Of course, yeah. There, right? But you shoot. But you play defense, like.
I shoot pretty good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I did shoot pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty tall. You know, play a little defense.
Okay.
I feel like his, you know, the way he is, he's kind of chill.
Yeah.
But he gets passionate at times as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like he'll come in the game quiet. Boom, give you your points.
Right.
Sit down. And then sometimes he might just be a little raised up, like, yeah. That's kind of with me. Like,
okay, all right.
I'm calm, I'm chill.
Okay.
I'll give you a little couple threes. Boom, boom, boom. And then, but definitely not on his level. Far. I don't want to sit here and hype it up. But,
nah, all you know, good.
I play varsity basketball. I play CYO. I play AAU. I travel.
Okay.
I did okay. So I did all right.
Yeah, you played some high level ball.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that, you know, sometimes it's okay to be the chill one, you know? Gerard and I talk about this a lot on this show. You know, I'm the chill one out of the two of us, obviously.
You're the chill?
She is not.
I'm wild.
She is the wild. Wild.
Let me clean this over.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the chill one.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, chilling out, Air Maxing.
Relaxing. I knew that was coming.
Since we're talking about shooting b-ball outside of the school, Gerard, you know I got to go there.
God.
Anyway,
the puns don't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Oh, wow.
But G knows all about that dynamic, right? Like, so, I don't know if you guys know this. G has a very hip-hop-focused podcast called Flip the Script with Queens Flip. So I'd love to talk more about, you know, the dynamic between you two is very fascinating. Got nothing but love for Queens Flip. So, shout out to Flip if you're watching. I love the dynamic on the show. But what is that like, you know, working with someone with such a personality? Gerard, you're not allowed to answer this question.
Yo, it's dope, man. It's crazy. It's dope. It's fun. It's scary. It's a little nerve-wracking at times. For me, I always find it weird that y'all are crazy. I always find it weird that me, his birthday is a day apart, and it's like night and day a little bit.
Was it yin and yang a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's like you would think that we would be very much like okay, but it's like one day apart, and it's yin and yang. It's night and day. Like, he's up here, I'm down here, but obviously the balance kind of keeps it level. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, me just knowing him before the podcast, knowing him before he went viral, just me and him been friends for like 15 years plus whatever. So, you know, we're very comfortable with each other. So there's certain things that I could say to him that he won't take personal and vice versa. Versus someone else new coming in the picture and being a part of the show. And they're like, oh, Queen Flip something. He'd be like, what? Like, you know, he'd take that like and go crazy. Me, it's like, all right, G said this. All right, it makes sense. Or Queen's Club said this to me. All right, let me listen to what he said. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we got a big respect for each other, and you know, so that helps the record relationship go far. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and talk a little bit too about what it's like sort of creating content like that, right? You got that show, you've got Picky Eaters. I mean, a lot of people who obviously follow this show, they want to get into this business. They're like, oh man, I love what you guys do. We want to create content. And, you know, they always see the fans see the finished product, right? They don't see all the stuff that goes into the behind the scenes. We're driving all over the place. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. You got to go do this. You got to get your editing stuff done right. Like, what? Talk about the grind and that process.
Oh, man. You know, as you said already, like, it's a lot. You know, we started out at one studio. We got kicked out. Found another studio in Brooklyn. We was there for like a year, and then we got another studio, and then that had it was a headache there. Left that studio, went to a new studio, and in between all these things, we trying to book guests, and you know, we trying to schedule things, you know, with their schedule, with our schedule. You know, I'm still DJing, he's still doing skits. So it's like, and then the editing the show afterwards, and then you know, with the whole YouTube, and you know, they flag the curses and things now, so that cuts the monetized stuff, and so now you gotta really edit the show now, and then, you know, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot of that goes on behind the scenes. You know, we've had guests on the show who sat on my couch for 3 hours and they told their life story, and then the next day they wake up like, can you guys take like the whole thing out, because I didn't quite want to say that part about this person. I'm like, come on, bro, like, you too grown to be, you know, like,
right,
the cameras is on right. Man. Like, right now on y'all show, I would not say anything that I feel would incriminate myself.
All right, snitches get stitches. You know what they say.
Snitches get stitches.
So I feel like these guys should know that. You know what I mean? Don't sit down on the camera, the lights is on, and you just, oh yes, my friend did this yesterday, and I was over there. And then tomorrow you're like, oh, I can't really put that out there.
It's like Red Table Talk, man. Whatever happens on that show, man, we put it out there. We ain't hiding.
That's it. That's it. But yeah, it's definitely a lot of work, man. You know, what you put into it is what you're going to get, man. You know, people ask me all the time for advice about podcasts, and I'm no expert, you know what I mean? But we just try to keep things consistent. I think that's the most important advice I can give anybody. Like, whether your cameras are high quality or not, or whether your microphone's high, but as long as you're consistent, you know, that's the start. You know what I'm saying? Like, just keep it going.
I love that. So, and support your friends out there, people. Listen, you got a lot of independent content creators out there, and that's something I think people don't understand. Like, these shows, like, we are independent content creators. We ain't got no big budget behind us, and these companies get all this money. No, my friends. Like, we are doing this. So support independent content, damn it. All right.
But if you want to support us financially, slide in the DMs and give us a call.
Yes, big brands. Shout.
Give them your Cash App right now.
Get it at Cash App.
I'm on block from Cash App. It's a sensitive subject. Maybe I'll put my Venmo in
Cash App. Get in the Cash App. All right, folks, we will be back because you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe & Tell, presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. We're going to get into some of DJ G Money's kicks, so stay tuned. What's good, everybody? You know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe & Tell, presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. Shout out to Chad and Dina Jones, husband and wife duo, doing the damn thing. Guys, Another Lane is taking off. The platform is growing literally by the second. People just jumping on there, getting approved, showing off their kicks. I mean, the marketplace is excellent. The content, the community. And that's the biggest thing about what they do over at Another Lane. It's about the community. Yes, if you want to look for some, you know, special pair of shoes you can't find anywhere, you know, you want to maybe sell some of your stuff. Sure, sure. We got all that too. But the community of people who are in this, they love the business. They love the industry of sneakers, right? Because it's not so much about, you know, selling and buying. It's about, nah, man, this is connected to me. This is something that, you know, reminds me of being a kid. This is my first pair of Jordans. All these intimate, special moments that everybody has connected to these things we wear on our feet. And it's awesome. So make sure you guys head over to anotherlane.com and check it out. Now, G, the floor is yours, my man. What you going to show us? Man. First pair.
Woo. You know, so today I had to go through my closet, man, you know, because I usually don't do these kind of shows. We got to go and show some kicks and stuff like that. This is the first for me.
You need some kicks and shit? You don't usually show some kicks and shit?
Pardon me. Kicks and shit, yes. So I had to go and try to find some selections here. So, you know, I think I'm going to start right here, man. And feel free to stop me whenever you guys feel the time is running out. But I got to start here with some throwback LeBron James.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
Whites. You know,
okay.
That's your man.
Worn by DJ G Money in about 2015, I think, whatever these came out. You know, I'm not too sure about the details of the sneakers, so I'm going to just go to the next pair.
Well, LeBron is your man, though. That's
but yeah,
guy.
LeBron's your guy. You're a big LeBron guy?
I am. I'm a big LeBron guy.
Okay. Okay.
Those sneakers, I bought those because I like LeBron, but the sneakers, they was all right. I didn't wear them too much, to be honest. But I still have them.
So, hilarious.
Sorry,
I keep everything 100%, man.
Listen, as we like really, it. Keep it, know, keep it 100. We like it.
100%. These next pair I actually found in the closet today. I wore these on my 30th birthday.
Okay.
And I probably didn't wear them again since then, but pretty dope.
Oh.
Okay.
So, these are called Prisms.
I like them. Yep.
Are they called Prism? That's what the box says, right? Anyway, these are the Prisms. Worn by DJ G Money on his 30th birthday. You know, anyone who wants to wrap all these things off and get some money for it, probably worth about $25. But let me know.
I also love how he's referring to himself in the third person. Worn by DJ G Money.
I try to get a story with each pair of sneakers a little bit for you guys. So
I appreciate it.
Regular. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
These kicks right here, found in the closet.
Ooh, okay. Look custom.
Matumbo, yeah. Adidas. Worn also by DJ G Money, of course. These kicks right here, I DJed a show, an event, a big event in Brooklyn with the artist by the name of Bishop Nehru. He opened up for Bishop. Yeah, I played a set for him. He opened up for Kendrick Lamar that night. And my homeboy Jason Rimber, shout out to Jason, he was helping style and helping do things in the background. And I had a whole different pair of kicks on, and he was like, yo, come in. He's like, yo, the outfit's cool, but you got something else to wear? I'm like, nah, that's what I got. He was like, yo, hold on. I don't know where he went, but he went in somebody's, he went in the trailer. You know, he's a stylist, so he probably got,
he got everything.
He came back, it's like this. Here, put these on.
Nice.
Gave me these for the show, and I was leaving, I took them off. I said, hey, bro, thank you. He was like, no, keep, bring one, that's yours.
I like it.
So I got a free pair, like my man get the free pair.
I was going to say, you know, Gerard.
Listen, ain't nothing wrong with free. Shoot.
Ain't nothing wrong with free.
I mean, I'm going to have to take your word for it. For you. Sorry, I think I need to hydrate. I'm a little thirsty over here.
Yeah, real thirsty. Real thirsty.
I think I'm going to show maybe like one or two more.
All right.
That's cool. And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Good. I want to take up
show as many as you want.
Look, we ain't going to show hundreds of pairs of sneakers tonight.
Nah, listen. I don't have 1,000 kicks in the house, so you don't worry about that. My sneaker collection is very like, I buy what I wear and I keep it right there.
We like it, yep.
Yeah,
these I may get rid of today because I haven't worn these in 20 years.
Wow.
Gerard, maybe you're the same size, like Gerard.
What size you wear, man?
I'm 11, man.
12 is close enough.
But I got
these
big
Jordans right here, though.
Yo.
Hi.
I like those.
I'm 11.
You know,
I like those. Joints. Yeah.
Little back joints.
I like them. I'm going to get rid of these.
I was going to say, can you call a size 12 shoe a she? Like, I'm like, she cute.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Real quick, this is more of a basic G Money, like every day or every other day in the weekends. Mm-hmm. I might tell you, you know, the ones is where I'm at right now.
Okay, see, we like ones.
The ones.
Wait,
the ones
pull those out again. Are those one highs or one mids? Slide them in. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, because I know, you know, we talk about all the time that people hate the mids out here in the streets. We don't know why. Mids are great.
I don't like the mids.
I don't like the mids.
I need a high on the ankle.
Are we sure this is a high or is this a mid?
It looking kind of mid to me. That's why I'm asking.
This is no mids, man.
The height of the tongue versus the rest of that shoe. That looks like a mid.
It was a little mid to me.
Oh, man. Look at me.
He mad.
All of a sudden, he's like, I just wore them today. Let me throw them out the window. I think they're fire.
Yes, the mids are great, man. See, that's the thing. You didn't even know they were mids, and then now you like their mids.
Hold on, are these mids too?
The Gatorades are not mids. I saw a little bit of that neon yellow.
Yeah, let me see. What was up?
I see.
It's the same.
I'm a sneaker sniper. No.
The other ones are mids. Oh, no.
Folks, listen. We have discovery happens all the time, folks. I was going to say, those look kind of like mids.
That just shows you, folks.
Yes. See,
on mids.
Exactly. Because, if we didn't say they were mids, you'd have been like, yeah, I love these shoes. See, that's the thing. Mids are fine. Everyone likes to pretend they don't like them. They're fine. It's okay.
I don't like the other mids.
The other mids.
I don't like those. But that's more my style right now. Like, the ones are my style right now.
I
love the ones. I like the Gatorade ones.
I like it. Well, you know, the ones are, you know, that's what's classic. Hot in the streets. Yep. Okay. I see you. Mm-hmm.
Look at all these peeps in the streets. Those are highs too, G. Don't worry.
Those are good.
And
for my last pair, you know, I want to do something a little special for you guys, being that this Kicks and Shit show.
We like
you.
We like special.
Why are those sneakers? That's so nice of you.
What size are you?
Yeah, he said, no, I didn't.
It's my Instagram bio, you know, just in case.
What size are you wearing now? So this is a little special. I feel like nobody on here has done this on that show.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but okay. I feel like no one has shown you guys a pair of bowling shoes. You know, I mean, like, these are a little different, man. All
no
black,
one.
Okay. BSI.
No one has shown BSI bowling shoes.
Tongue right there. You see that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nothing fancy, but, you know, this is more about my personality as well. You know, when I'm not DJing, I'm out here kicking and shitting people on a bowling alley. You know what I'm saying? So
DJ G Money.
Such an aggressively passive comment. Like, what are you trying to say, huh?
So DJ G Money, you're also, your nickname is Pins out here in these streets, huh?
Oh.
So what? You bowl what?
You
like
just bowled us over with those picks, G. What do you?
Oh wow, Gabby, Jesus. What do you average? 180, 190?
I struck out with that one, Gerard.
that was cool. I used to.
I'll pair you with the rest of the bowling pack.
Wow.
I do about 150, 160 average.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not,
nice.
I'm not a professional.
No, you're nice.
No, you're not a turkey on those lanes, you know.
I am a turkey on those lanes.
Wow. Three in a row. Wow. Okay. We have devolved.
Like, right, we've hit our pun quota for the day, yes. And we're out.
Pun quota for today has been maxed out. But, G, tell the people where to find you, man.
Oh, man, hit me up. Instagram at DJGMoneyOfficial. YouTube.com/DJGMoney. Those are the main platforms I use right now. You know, so check me out there. Plus Google. Look out for the show, man. Pick it either. Put the script podcast and all that good stuff. And I got something coming up real soon that, you know, once it locks in, I'll definitely let you guys know. You know, some more big news.
Love it, man. Appreciate that. Thank you for joining us. And folks, that is another episode of the Kicks and Shit Show. Thank you for joining us. As always, you know where to find us. We are part of the Count the Dings family on that bomb podcast feed with the regular bomb show, Crazy Sexy Cool, Rap Names, Growing Up the Same. Listen, man, you got dope, Woke Bros. You got all these dope-ass shows on the Bomb Network feed, including us, the Kicks and Shit Show. You know where to find us. Instagram, Twitter, @Kicks and Shit Show, Facebook. We everywhere. We out here in these streets. Until next time. Peace.